right, nice job. Good set. Let's do some social kick.
Like a free flight just Southwest.
Right.
That was a pretty cool one.
Do you ever get prizes at swim meets? Like, do they ever offer that? Because sometimes the local meets will offer like a backpack or something.
Oh, I remember meets like that. Yeah,
you get stuffies.
Yeah, and then like when you win your heat, you get a ducky. So I remember like.
But then you had to tally it for your eligibility, so you couldn't accept the backpack.
Right.
Instead of, what were the one? Oh, it was back to the sandals, the slides. Yeah, you know, like the like tier speedo slides that had like the pointy things.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about? Those stupid sandals. Yeah. This thing sucked.
But now you can benefit
except for John probably loves those because he's a slide guy.
But
I remember them like giving that sort of thing away or like a chamois towel or like a full-size regular towel.
I got a little rubber ducky for winning my heat as a college student.
Rubber ducky.
Even at Masters, I got a towel for like High Point winner. I still have that towel going. High Point winner towels.
Mm-hmm. You got High Point at a Masters meet?
Yeah.
Really? What?
Several times, man. Back in the day.
Man, wow. I got to try to win High Point.
You were just cleaning up Masters meets?
St. Petersburg, Florida.
From the keg afterwards.
That's not history. I don't know what it is.
See, actually, at Alan Liu, they were handing out wine and like a wine glass. Yep. I think I could have gotten one because I won my age group for the 200 free, but I just didn't pick it up.
Well, that's a nice way to start this episode because... What if you are going to be an NCAA swimmer 2 years from now and you got a gift? Would you be as nervous? We don't know. What are the rules with the new NCAAs? Yeah. Are you able to make money off of some your likeness being used by sponsorship?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting, right? Where the world is going?
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued to see how it all turns out with what's going to happen with the money sports, mainly football, basketball. I think it will mainly affect those sports more. What will be the trickle down with swimming? Will this be a way for some programs to try to
trickle down?
There we go.
Great analogy.
There you go. We're going to trickle everywhere. So will this be a reason or excuse for some NCAA programs to cut swimming? Like, in my opinion, these types of things have maybe happened in the past and then different programs have been cut after they've maybe made different changes to the laws and things like that. I don't know.
Well, why do you think they'd be cut?
Well, I think they cut them really without any reason sometimes to begin with, other than them trying to save money or do things like that. Theoretically, they shouldn't have anything to do with that at all because they're saying that this is coming from outside sources.
Yeah, it doesn't have to come from a budget.
Exactly. So, it shouldn't come from at all. So it shouldn't affect at all. But I'm always a little bit worried when I know swimming isn't bringing in money and there's any kind of shakeups and how the NCAA might spend it or how universities might.
I didn't think of that twist. I thought about how many great athletes have played NCAA sports, and when they did go to the pros, they failed, and they are now probably bankrupt out there, or just not well. How many NCAA basketball players did not do well when they turned pro?
Tons
of them. Yeah. From Christian Laettner, many phenoms? These guys are going to get, you're going to see Nike ads with the top, Kentucky players playing, and they're going to benefit from that.
Definitely. There's the 30 for 30 called Broke on ESPN, where they think it's like 70% are broke within 2 or 3 years from the league. So, yeah, it's a big issue. So I'm intrigued to see how it all pans out. I'm shocked it happened this quick after the California ruling, in all honesty.
But it would affect swimming negatively, perhaps?
Maybe I'm just being pessimistic with it, and maybe this isn't really a possibility. But like I said, I just know swimming programs get cut pretty often, not the big schools and things like that, but some of the Division III, some of these lower-level Division I's. And if some reason something comes up, because there is some interesting verbiage in it where it say that, okay, we're going to allow this to come in, but it needs to be, I forget the exact phrasing, we can look it up, but it needs to be, still more or less in line with the NCAA's values, whatever that means. So we'll see how it all pans out.
Does that mean they can't accept sponsorship from, say, like a beer sponsor?
Yeah, maybe.
Or a competing sponsor to NCAA too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure what it means exactly. I think there's so much to figure out, and I think this is going to start in January 2021. So it's actually pretty soon. Yeah, exactly. A year and some change.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see how it all pans out.
Open a big door, though.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know what it means for amateur athletes and their status of eligibility for the NCAA. Because, I mean,
yeah. Is that one of the values? Sorry, Brian.
I just don't remember seeing anything about that specifically, but, I mean, that could change.
I'm saying it's a door that's open.
A lot with terms of, like, recruiting. And, I mean, it could have a knock-on effect, I think. And, I mean, one of the things that's interesting to me is that the NCAA and like the correlation between them and FINA, and that they seem to be both like heavily influenced by somebody making a progressive decision or movement, and then they quickly adapt.
Big time.
I've seen it with both of them very recently. Absolutely. And honestly, I'm kind of encouraged by that because they're both legacy organizations that are, some might say corrupt, but are at least antiquated in the way that they operate and perhaps kind of backwards and not definitely not progressive thinking. And so then, you know, we've seen that they can be influenced to change. I mean, right or wrong, without putting up a fight, perhaps. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, it took one state, biggest state, but one state to, you know, have governor make a movement that was really progressive. And then suddenly, boom, it's like, okay, fine.
It took
okay, we'll do it.
A couple swimmers to boycott a FINA meet for FINA to say, okay, well, we will accept the ISL and endorse it. Wow. What if ISL decides to change their rules and no longer decide, you know what, you can actually either get a salary or we will allow you to get a sponsor who can pay you to come and compete with us. Does that allow Reagan Smith to now be able to compete in ISL 2 years from now? Because, you know, we don't know how other teams might bend the rules to get these NCAA swimmers to compete. So it's going to be, I can't wait.
I mean, I don't think so.
Professionalism is starting to get like really blurry.
I mean, I don't think they'll be able to do that because they'd pretty much be saying that a college football player could also play in the NFL theoretically, right?
Right.
So I think they're going to start drawing different lines there, but I am intrigued to see if, you know, how this does impact swimming. Like I was saying, if there's any positive or negative light there, or will any swimmers actually make any money off their likeness? I don't know. Like Reagan Smith after the Olympics. I mean, Ledecky's done, right?
So, done. But when she was
in exactly. So the current landscape right now, we have Reagan Smith. She's probably one of the biggest names and
Michael
biggest rising stars. Maybe Andrew would have swum, but I mean, I don't know.
Phelps,
Brian, can you think of anyone else in the NCAA right now? I mean, who else might be making a move at this next Olympiad that, you know, because that's where the people make their money, right? Sponsors right after the Olympics.
Or who else may now consider swimming NCAAs and who would not consider it before because they wanted to be sponsored?
Yeah. So, Justin, what 12-year-olds are on the radar right now?
None that I can think of. But
what? It doesn't have to be young person.
Here's another thing. But would that mean that more international swimmers would want to come over to the U.S. and
actually train?
I
think Chad LeClos should do his master's degree at Stanford University.
And swim?
And swim at Stanford and do his master's, get his 4 years, get his MBA, and be endorsed. But I'm going to say I'm being silly, but it could be – it allows people
could.
To
– He never started a six-year window, so –
But I think that with the pro – him being in a pro league now, that will somehow violate the specifics.
You're right, but I'm saying that there might be an athlete out there.
So he's just suggesting that the ISL could work to the detriment of some swimmers in this regard?
Maybe Amina Atherton, I don't know what her sponsors are. Maybe – and she just broke the world record. Congratulations to her in the 200 back, but maybe she can also come
back.
100 back, sorry.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
So you're saying you think someone can swim in ISL and compete in college?
So here's what
with these rules.
Here's what a lot of Americans do. A lot of Americans swim at NCAA's 4-year program, and they want to go to med school or grad school, and they go to Canada because in Canada you're allowed to swim 5 years.
Okay.
So we had a lot of NCAA swimmers swimming 5th year in Canada. So similar idea. If now you could be fully endorsed, and George could be sponsored by Head Swimming, and he can now swim in NCAAs. I mean,
I get what you're saying there, but I do think, and maybe I don't know this enough, but how can someone be in a professional league and then compete in college? They're not going to allow that. You can't go play in the NBA and then also play NCAA basketball. Right. There's no way they're going to allow that crossover. And most of the time, it wouldn't work anyway because it'd be the same season and things like that. It's like ISL is, I guess, not technically during the college swimming season. I guess
it depends.
There's some overlap, so it wouldn't work there. But I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to allow that at all. But it is obviously an exciting move here. I think, at least for me, I think I know how hard these athletes work in college, and like you said, so many of them end up broke. I think having, if they can capitalize on it, especially with them being in video games, some of these other sports, right, I mean, right, why not make some money?
So I was just looking that up because I was trying to think of like what would be a swimming video game, and then I remember that Wii Olympics.
There you go.
AB. Don't forget the Michael Phelps Wii game. Just like Excitebike or like some of these other things, yeah, where you could just like totally monkey. Well, nah, that's a bad example, but the old Olympic one where you could like jump off of the mat. And
oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, AB. That's how you swam. AB.
Well, because this whole thing started with the Ed O'Bannon case and like his likeness was portrayed in what, NCAA basketball?
Yeah, when they did the throwback teams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it's just like, can you imagine a swimming Olympics? But I mean, on video game.
Hey, I why isn't there an Olympics game? There, like you said, that was popular way back when.
Well, I would think. I mean, it's gotta be just like any other like football game or something where they mirror the skills of the athletes. Sure. But I mean, but you've got like certain speeds for different people in the sport.
There you go. You guys remember California Games? And the Summer Olympics, and California Games had surfing and swimming in it. This is back in the 80s and 90s.
Talking about. Nope, what do you mean, clue. California
Games? That was the name of a video game. You had a little 5.5-inch floppy disk, and you put it in. Into your Commodore 64.
Oh my god.
There it is, California Games.
1987. Jesus.
And it was swimming and surfing. Surfing is awesome. You can do 360, and you catch a tube. Look at it, man.
Hey, 4.4 out of 5 review.
I am the historian.
You are the historian for a reason. Was a very impactful.
It was extremely impactful. It was a big game.
Yeah, now I grew up on Mario and Zelda.
Yeah. Mario Kart 64. I challenge anyone out there. I'm ready right now.
That was good. When you got a chew. And it was swimming, and it was like pop 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 as fast as you can press.
I remember, like you said, with the mat, with the Olympic game, you run on the mat, or the swimming, you just said AB, and that was left arm, right arm.
Here's the thing, like for me, video games for swimming, it was like that Michael Phelps Wii game or whatever.
I didn't even.
Is there a Michael Phelps one?
Yeah, there's a few Michael Phelps and then video games I think that came out.
Yeah. Michael Phelps game.
I think it was like the Xbox that they put the camera and then you gotta like show, you gotta like
push the limit.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
Xbox 360. Yeah.
What was the rating?
Are they doing the like arm swing?
48%.
I know, but you can get it for $6, baby.
That's not bad. That's a deal right there.
Which swimmer right now do you think deserves a video game?
Ryan Lochte.
A swimming video game.
Yeah, what would be involved in this game? Is it a weight loss game? Is it a light nightlife game? Is it a... Hey, coming? Is it a comeback story game?
Ryan, what was it?
Comeback story game.
Two kids, right?
I'm picturing like Grand Theft Auto, where you used to just roam around.
In Brazil.
You just like roam around, and you could like mess with hookers and stuff like that. And that's what you do, Grand Theft Auto Brazil.
So, funny story about Grand Theft Auto. Me and my brother just used to put in the cheat codes, and then we would just fly or we just drive a tank around, just screw around until we had like the 5 stars or whatever over your head.
I've never played Grand Theft Auto.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I know what it is, but
I mean, you just like roam around.
And hit people.
The problem with the video games was swimming. It was just a swimming race, and it was hella boring. But if they did a skins version of a race, hella again. Sorry,
I feel like you're just like
it's like
an Easter.
I don't hear
Nobody I know in my life says hella except for you.
And he doesn't say it outside of this.
No,
does he
never said it.
Never says it. No, get on here. This is
not
persona.
A classic Lucasism.
I'm a cultural historian. Here we go.
I think it is a historic reference now. It's a historic term too.
Don't you think that the skins meet would be a pretty cool video game? Because you could like each player could set like, well, this is his fitness level.
Yeah,
you
like feed them broccoli while they're sitting there.
Yeah.
Feed man to do broccoli while he's sitting there for his recovery bar go up.
Does he need chocolate?
Far behind I am on games. It's like you have that recovery health bar next to every person.
How many times are you going to breathe the first 25? Solstrom and Sharma's? Or how many times are you going to rely on a start? Renomi? It's interesting. So,
anyway. I mean, I don't know how it's a video game, but
I don't know. Maybe you can, like, Chico's, you can buy some drugs and, like, shoot them up with.
Is the pellets turned before or after the race?
Do you get to pick where to put the pellets?
Exactly. I mean, what type of diuretics can you buy?
You gotta put like the cursor on the body, and then you
I hope you'll find this is funny because
I love this add-on layer to the game.
God, what else could be involved in the game? We're getting back into my Super Olympics here.
Super Olympics game, right?
Yeah, the suits.
Fins, super suits.
Do you want to have, you know, a mono fins for your legs? This is how much it would cost in the game.
Do you want like a jetpack on your back?
But yeah, so a lot of interesting topics there. But you brought up the skins. Who watched the ISL this weekend? We're on week four.
Yeah, we finished the first two sets of pairs.
I forget what exactly they call them.
Right, the derbies, which is like the first big round event.
Can you say that word again?
Derby.
Derby.
Every time I search ISL, I get the Derby. Indian Super League.
Yeah, they gotta fix that.
Right? I mean, they need to do better.
The only time I get it on first return is searching it on ESPN.
John, you're going up against 1 billion people searching for ISL versus
Football League 10, in India. Yeah, I mean, I get it, but
localized.
Still disappointing. Huh?
So what were the two biggest surprises of this weekend's ISL meet in terms of swims performances?
Surprises?
Two biggest surprise performances that like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. I didn't expect that not to happen.
I guess the only thing that stood out to me is the fact that the reason that London continues to do really well is they're getting surprise wins from some of their folks to me that aren't their headliner athletes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guido, was that true that he actually swam the second fastest 50 back
ever
all time?
Yeah. Really?
I mean, that's legit.
22-0 something, right?
Okay, so he's a really well-known and established swimmer.
But who expected that?
But at the same time, it's like, you know, they're just having some performances like that across the board.
Yeah, Mina Atherton, world record. I think we talked about her last time. I didn't even know the name before going into ISL.
She set
a world record.
Yeah.
And then they're just so deep there.
Who's the 200 freestyler that won? McDowell or something?
I don't know off the top of my head. But yeah. I know, I mean, their girls' relays won the 4x1 free relay. So it's just... And they have people. I mean, they have both Campbells and
McEwen.
So they're deep, but... I mean, who expect any of these teams just to go 1-2 on a relay, right?
Yeah. So your surprise is a team performance you didn't expect for so many, you know,
I didn't
middle
expect
of
that,
the line stuff to
do. I didn't expect that team to dominate. And part of the – I didn't expect – I think part of the reason I didn't expect it is because they're getting wins out of people that are not their headliners.
Right.
Whereas you've got they're beating some other headliners from other teams.
So conversely, what did you think was going to happen for sure that didn't happen? Like, oh, I didn't expect that not to happen. PD's world record, Milak's 100 fly didn't come in eighth, I think. He didn't do so well. I don't know. Marzov not winning.
He got second. Yeah,
second,
fly.
Right? Yeah. Sorry.
Fat check, please. James Guy got eighth. Andrew got seventh.
I don't know. I mean, okay, so even like PD's two breasts was good.
Yeah.
I mean, which six? I guess shouldn't be too surprising, but I mean, like, he's still. I'm curious about what's happening with, the freshness of some swimmers, though.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not just the format that lends itself well to certain swimmers. I mean, they're like, I think some of them are coming in fresher than others, right? Which I mean, of course that's the case, but I just mean, it could be the London's having that case too.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I mean, you see some of those pops in other places, but you don't see it on the poor New York breakers. But I mean, they got a couple highlights.
They got some wins.
I mean,
they win a relay, I think.
Iron relay.
Yeah,
Iron relay.
Iron's not bad. It's more. I mean, they just seem to be.
Yeah, they're just not as deep.
They have the stars, and then it kind of falls off there.
Seliskar swam well.
Definitely.
Let's remember, Seliskar was a good short course swimmer.
He's very versatile, right? He can do a lot.
I'm not surprised that Tom Shields doing so well because. I remember back in the day when he would do his World Cup tours and whatnot, he would just annihilate.
Great short course swimmer.
He was up for like the best high point for World Cup. I was surprised that Mina
Atherton
missed the world record by 0.09 in lead off of the relay. And then half an hour later, she blew away. Yeah. She went out half a second faster, and she came back in 54.80 something.
Yeah.
That was impressive in 30 minutes, and I forget that she's in shape.
Yeah, she's she's killing it right now. She's someone having great meets.
Confident.
And she's just looking it up. She's on the 4x1 relay, contributing there. Yeah. So she's not just doing backstroke too. And to Brian's point, it's just like these swimmers that we didn't expect. To your point, I mean, Guido beating Grievers by 0.6 and beating Ryan Murphy by 0.8 in the 50 back.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have called that?
Where'd he go?
22.5, 50 back.
I remember when Chris Renaud set the world record at Canadian Nationals in 1995 in Brock, 24.0. And that was so fast. And that was, and now we're at 22. That's incredible.
Actually, this is not so much a surprise, but I don't know what the best way to put it is, but somewhat significant. Didn't Katinka win the MVP without swimming a single skins race?
Yeah, so she was the first first one to win the MVP without the skins. So, yeah, I mean, that was interesting. So who won the skins in this one? You had Campbell won the skins, and then for the guys you had
Chalmers.
No, sorry, Campbell didn't win. It was Kromowidjojo won again. And then Chalmers.
No, but Katinka's 200 fly at the end. I mean, they had my household going, wow.
That was a great race.
And that was how much... Not much longer after the race right before, which was, I forgot what it was, but the 200 fly, how she came back was unbelievable.
Yeah, she had a great finish.
No, she put together for her team, man, and her country.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, I think we had a text or a message exchange talking about how the crowd didn't look too crowded on Saturday. I didn't watch Saturday, I watched Sunday. It looked pretty full on Sunday to me.
Yeah, we didn't see the other side of the stadium, that's the thing.
Yeah, exactly, so it's hard to say, but... I don't know. I still think the production is still improving from each and every one. I forget what I saw, but I saw some add-ons. Every time there's like a couple new things where it's like, okay, we got more times, we got more names, we have...
More interviews on deck. I saw that. A lot more interviews on deck.
Yeah.
This time they also had a additional broadcast, or maybe it was after the fact, edit that they put separately on ESPN. There was a 1-hour segment covering the full weekend.
Oh, wow.
And in that, and I don't, so this is how I caught up, because we're in California and there's rolling blackouts for crazy wind events, and I didn't have power this weekend. And so I was catching up after the fact, and it was great to watch the shortened version of it. So it's a 1-hour thing covering the whole weekend. And so they would cut out all of the space in between and just hit the highlights of the races, which was great. But they were also splicing in still interviews with swimmers. The interviews, like, in my opinion, weren't great because they were talking about, like, what's your favorite food? Who's your favorite thing? You know, it's like...
But something stood out in the interviews.
You know, whatever. But it's getting better. I mean, it's... Yeah, well, the one thing that stood out was they asked They asked Petey what his favorite, like, to say a joke.
Oh,
shit. Like, what's your favorite joke? And he's like, it was a weird one. They had asked Katinka that, and she couldn't think of a thing. And they said it to Petey, and he's like, well, I don't really know, like, any jokes, but can I just say New York Breakers?
Are you kidding me? He said that?
We
totally called him out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Rivalry. So, yeah, that, like, that bit that they included as part of this other
That is
broadcast.
A great joke. That is a good joke. The New York
like,
Knicks.
Nobody's talking trash in this thing too much, but, like, that was pretty funny.
Well, hopefully it gets it going and build some rivalries, right? I mean, hey, in London Roar, they can talk right now. I know some swam did, like, a composite scores and... Like, them and the current, I think, are 1 and 2 on who theoretically would be beating. I mean, Energy Standard, we talked about, looked solid in the other matches, but they're saying these are the top two teams. So, I don't know.
Such a professional meet, and I know the coaches spoke to professionals of it. And it looked professional from a viewer. It looked so well. We know how to... We've run swim meets. We've been part of swim meets. We know how difficult that is. And for the first time, to have all these elite athletes come together from all around the world in locations, it's... immaculately done. Such a professional environment, man. Good.
So, compared to Olympic coverage, what do you think? Better?
Well, I
worse,
couldn't tell the reaction times.
Different.
I don't know how good the reactions were.
Sorry, Rowdy. But...
Maybe he'll be there soon enough, right? What side are they breathing to? What's the reaction time?
Much love, Rowdy, man. You're so good for us boys. So.
He is.
I don't mean to tease him.
What do you think compared to the Olympics coverage?
Well...
It's different, right?
It is different. So that depends too, because I think you have multiple different Olympic coverages. So we're talking about NBC Olympic coverage.
Yeah, sure. Let's just go NBC. That's what most of our audience thinking about does.
That, I mean, first of all, I like the fact that it's not heavily weighted toward the American athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, NBC coverage is, if zoned there's like really stars in swimming, then they'll cover some of them, mm-hmm. but they don't go super deep into the person themselves. Whereas for the American athletes, they really will. Mm-hmm. I mean, and this goes back, we're probably talking about current, but if you go back to like older Olympic coverage, you've got the like the backstory of Gary Hall like walking, you know, on a field of leaves.
Exactly.
Punching. And it's like all side stories that they do for some of the older Olympic games were really funny. But, and they still do some of that for current Olympics. But it's mostly focused, I think, on American athletes. And so this, I just like consuming coverage that seems a little bit more balanced. That said, and I think it's, in terms of being progressive, it's moving at a rate of improvement that they're clearly, like, on a regular basis leaving this going, what can we do differently? Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that every week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no opportunity for the Olympics to do that. And, of course, there's a different level of scrutiny for NBC or what have you to do that. But, I mean, from that aspect, I like it better. I always enjoy watching the Olympic coverage of I think it's the same commenting duo that does world championships. And there's like a Australian woman and maybe, I don't know who the guy is, but there's a duo there. And I think they do pretty well. They don't nail it all, but I think they're a little bit more entertaining to listen to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but at the end of the day, I don't think that they're as good as like, have you ever watched Flow Track?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, I don't know if that we didn't get too deep into flow swimming covering races that I recall, some of that was contract issues, but Flow Track is really big in mm-hmm. track and field because mm-hmm. they own coverage
mm-hmm.
For a lot of local meets or even bigger meets now. And that's something, but the commentary that you get is pretty in depth and has perspective on each of the athletes that it, like, a level that we never get in swimming coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's people, you know, we're fans of swimming, but, you know, even today, like, you know, if we're at the depth, I don't know. So there's probably some people that would be really best suited as subject matter experts for the sport of swimming that I think if you just gave them a mic to comment would give you a more authentic look at what's actually happening in the event that's got more in-depth perspective on a really broad lineup of swimmers. And I just, like, we could do that in swimming. It's just mm-hmm. the outlet doesn't exist for it today. So I think, I mean, to the question about, like, is the ISL coverage, like, better or worse than the Olympics, I think in some ways I think it's better because it's improving faster. I think production quality is probably on par with
mm-hmm.
NBC today. But I guess I would say, like, across the two, if I were going to put one, you know, think 8 weeks in the future to Vegas or however far out that is, or to next year in ISL, I wouldn't be shocked if it's, like, really setting the bar for what swimming coverage should be. It depends on, like, who they involve in their – and if they keep the same commentators, because, like, their level of, like, education and depth in the athletes won't change necessarily, but perhaps it can be facilitated by, you know, a research team that's kind of helping them with the production to feed them facts about athletes and get better about that. So, I don't know. I think it's headed the right direction. I'd probably put it on par today, but, you know, there's more opportunity for sure.
I picked up like 5 points that I fully agree with what you said. I think the ISL could learn a lot from what the Olympic coverage does and vice versa. The aspects of the Olympic coverage, which the ISL could build off of, and exactly what you said, character, building up the characters mm-hmm. of the athletes, the little backstories, the little, this little knowledge of this, of a little bit more about, you know, it doesn't have to be the stars. A little bit know that Katinka and Jacobos grew up together, racing against each other. They were born 1 month apart, and now they're in the same team for the first time ever. Not as competitors, but as building a team for their country. You know, that would get me really involved as an athlete, and the Olympics do a good job at that.
Mm-hmm.
Vice versa, I love the interviews on deck with the swimmers and the coaches, and wouldn't that be cool for the Olympics to have some of that, you know, ease up the rigidity of their coverage and be more friendly and brought you more on deck. What also ISL does, which is really fun, is to really focus on the crowd going crazy and getting so excited. You know, like focusing on the London Roar, doing their big claps and showing the athletes going really crazy and getting so excited. And the Olympics could do that if they were to, A, bring a crowd in that could afford to be there, to be cheering on, focus on the crowd, and just have a more exciting environment to get us on TV excited with them. So I think they could learn a lot with that. It definitely is on par. I can see the Tokyo coverage evolving because of what ISL is showing, and they should. It would make it a more youthful, you know, more attractive to the young people who should be watching it. Commentary wise, absolutely. And it doesn't need to be a big name. You look at the names that were commenting this weekend, right? Karen Pickering, Mark Foster, those are two main names, right? Mm-hmm. You know, neither of them were multiple gold medal, Natalie Coggan, Michael Phelps swimmers, but they're all super high-end swimmers. I mean, they won Commonwealth Games and they won medals at the Olympics. But they are very knowledgeable and very good on camera and very comfortable on camera, very accurate on camera. It reminds me of track. Track has Atta Bolden. He won 4 medals in track and field. And he's very knowledgeable and very charismatic and even across his commentary, but very insightful as well. So I do think the commentary could get us to the next level on the Olympic side. That's more balanced approach, exactly what you said. So I'm agreeing with you in all the aspects. But it's for first time production value. Kudos, man.
Are you saying they should bring on Rowdy?
No, I mean, Rowdy, what, 3-time Olympic gold medalist?
Yeah.
With lots of experience. You know, what if Rowdy is there with another athlete there? What if Rowdy focuses on certain events and then other events you have another athlete who, another former athlete or former coach? Imagine having a coach being a commentator. Why not?
Like a Bowman or a Marsh or
we, one of those guys? Exactly. Yeah. We just saw Joe Buck and John Smoltz commenting on the World Series. One was one of the best pitchers of all time. One is has a professional broadcaster who's done it, and his dad's done it forever. In swimming and, you know, in track and field, they have Michael Johnson commenting on the 400 and up, and Arthur does this 400 and down.
Mm-hmm. By the way, a lot of people hate Joe Buck.
But like, honestly, it's similar to Rowdy.
Like, a lot of people don't like Rowdy, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, yeah,
but the thing is, like, those, he's. Depends who the audience is, yeah, right? And so I don't know what sort of ratings there are, but I mean, the audience for NBC Olympics is for the casual fan. It's not for the swimming expert.
Big time, and I think that's why they, at least with the NBC coverage, they dive into the stories, they dive into the drama, they drive into that. And I think, like you guys are alluding to, it's just different coverage, right? But I do think they could both improve a little bit from each other. I do think during those breaks in between, pick an athlete, dive into it, get to know them a little bit more. So those that are watching every match are starting to develop some favorites and some teams that they go through. And like you said, the Olympics, I think, could maybe benefit from some a little more of the graphics that I think the ISL is using. I'm entertained by that. And then also getting some more interviews or things like that there. What do you think, Justin?
I think you guys touched on the points I was thinking. You know, I think just merging the two, somehow marrying some of the things they do pretty well for the Olympic coverage and the ISL coverage. But again, Luke, like you were saying, I have no complaints for first-time coverage, and I do like the energy that they provide at the ISL meets. And, you know, I like to see more in the Olympic coverage. Like, one of my favorite things is to hear the Japanese cheer for each other because they have the team cheer. They never go in depth about that or just some of the traditions that they have as a team. But the best thing about the ISL, in my opinion, the DJ on deck.
There you go. No, and that will be at the Olympics, but yeah, that makes it fun, right? I think that the team aspect, seeing them all root for each other, interviewing people, the captain, like I enjoy listening to Katinka being interviewed right after the two fly for the skins race. You know, it's good to see that.
But let's not compare the Olympics and the ISL, because the Olympics are such a unique event. It's the Olympic Games, it's the glory, it's the wreath, what have you. Compare a World Cup circuit. Compare the you know, FINA Short Course Championships. That's what you should be having into comparisons. The Pro Series that we have across here.
Well, it's better than that.
So see how it goes. Right? And it doesn't take that much. I mean, why can't you live? Well, it's expensive. It's all money. All right. It's money.
I think time. You do live stream the Pro Series, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but the money is.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, let's do a little trivia.
Oh boy, historian.
Let's deep dive into some Rowdy Gaines trivia. Brian, how old is Rowdy?
Let's see. Rowdy swam at Auburn in the early 80s. Actually, I was going to say like late 70s because he missed the 80 Olympic team. So I'm going to say that Rowdy was 20 at that time. And so it was 40, 59.
60 years old. Good job.
All right.
What state was he born in?
An American state.
Florida.
Good job, Florida.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
No, no, no. I know that answer, but
yeah,
I'm a daughter, I know so. Because he runs like one of the pools in Florida. That's
He runs the YMC in Orlando, but I didn't know
Justin
that's
what he
lives
the steal.
There.
John, go ahead.
Continue.
I was gonna say I'm gonna give Justin one more. What Olympics games did he start doing coverage for? What year?
2004.
Anyone for the steal?
Over I'm 80. Gonna say 04.
Earlier.
92.
Later.
96.
96.
Really?
Yep, 96. And like you said, he has won, as you said earlier, 3 Olympic gold medals. And he, there's a quote here on his Wikipedia page, so take it for what it is. But he said he physically peaked in 80 when they boycotted the games. So he, could have won whatever.
What time did he go? Right? What did he win the 100 free in? Take a guess.
49-2.
Yeah, let's see if I can.
With a rolling start.
I think he was maybe like 43 in the 100 yard freestyle.
Briefs and no cap.
I don't have that Briefs information
no
right here.
A lot of people say Fall started in that race.
Okay. Yeah.
Is he a legend at Auburn?
He definitely smoked the start in that race. He's kind of like anticipated it.
Got
it. Yeah, yeah.
At Auburn, he's
yeah.
Like,
what is
he's
the
well,
vibe of him on deck at Auburn or at least on campus?
Great. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. I mean, Rowdy's actually kind of silly, but like Rowdy's 200 free record stood at Auburn until like I think Zach Apple broke it or somebody. It was like
really
recently. Yeah, actually, no offense to whoever broke it if it wasn't Zach, but like, I mean, stood for a long time. 133.8.
Okay, that's still.
And his coach had.
And that was from 80.
His coach Auburn's quick, right?
Yes.
So Richard Quick. He came to Trinidad and did a clinic in Trinidad when I was 14 years old. And he says, I remember saying, he said, I can teach backstroke blind because I can stand up and pull deck and just hear the swimmers slapping their hands against the water. And I always questioned that as a 14-year-old. So maybe it wasn't Richard, but I was 1986. I was 14, 1988.
Sure, you were 14?
I can teach backstroke blind because I can hear the slap of the arms in the water.
That's what Richard
and
said.
It was Rowdy Gaines' coach. And I was
All right, Brian, last question. And this is not cited on Wikipedia, but it says he holds the Masters short course meters 50 free record for the 50 to 54 age group.
I'm going for it.
This was with a super suit. What did he go? Short course meters, 50 free, 50 to 54 with a super suit.
23.7.
21.36.
Short course meters?
That's what it says on Wikipedia.
No way.
2011 short course at Masters Nationals.
Not meters.
It's short course
yards.
Meters?
Okay, maybe it is yards. It was saying a short course yard. Short course meters, but it sounds like that would need to be yards.
No
that
freaking
would be
way
so
he went 21.3. We just said Dressel went 21.3.
Yeah, that must be short course yards.
Yeah,
so we need to update this wiki.
He didn't do
a Wikipedia
Jaeger
page.
Oh, gotcha.
He wasn't there.
There was like
but
some
anyways, yeah,
like
it must
shootout
be
that
yards.
I thought he did. He was going like 21 or something like that.
At the Tiburon Sprint in 2012.
It is yards.
Jaeger's, yeah.
On here, on the page.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, 21.3 yards.
21.3 yards for the 50-54.
That sounds right.
But yeah, that's some good deep dive in the Rowdy.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, sure.
That's those are some things that I did know about Rowdy.
What did,
some
is
that
Ambrose his nickname or his Christian
name?
His
real name.
Christian name. Is Rowdy his nickname?
Yeah. I don't know. Ambrose is his name. Rowdy's his nickname or what he goes
is
by.
Is Ambrose his nickname?
Who calls him Ambrose?
You have the choice of Ambrose or Rowdy. Which one do you think would be the nickname?
Another Lucasism in the books.
The historian added
two
again
two
here.
There we go.
Rowdy, right. Rowdy knew how to pump a keg.
Definitely. All right, so
I've come from.
You know, if we're looking at the ISL,
you, there. You can't talk.
Do we want to go into
there.
That?
Oh boy.
All right. Anyway, so we have our next ISL. We have a little break, I believe. So our next one is November 16th to 17th. It's the US one. So it's going to be all four US teams.
All four US teams.
Yeah, so now it goes all four US teams, all four European teams, and then they take the top two of each in that Vegas.
It's the what, Luke? It's the... The derby or the derby?
I'm making sure I don't know.
The derby's over. Come on.
But how do they, and you get 8 points for win or something? Like, how do they
charge it up? The same point. I believe it's the same point system as the other matches, right? Or derbies. And then they just put them together. I mean, Justin, you were saying how there's some same article how the teams are more or less picked out, right? Or that it looks like it's already determined?
Yeah, I saw that somewhere.
It's pretty much like... I think it's like pretty much already.
Because they're taking two American teams and they're taking two European no matter what.
Okay, I haven't seen the article, but it must be LA Current.
New York Breakers. No, just kidding.
Cali Condors, LA Current, Hurricanes, London Roar.
Yeah. But it makes sense. I mean, I was talking with my wife how, you know, so you swim two weekends back to back, same competition. Bunch of swimming is exciting for us. Is it really that unpredictable are going to change that much in 1 week with the same team?
But you know what? You're not getting the four best teams necessarily because they're taking the two best American, the two best European. So what if Ion is better than Cali Condors?
Yeah, you're not.
And because they're not racing against each other, so they're not scoring points off each other. And then London Roar is taking away points from Ion. If Ion was in that other bracket, they may have done better.
I think they optimized that for the swimmers. For their schedule so they could commit to being part of this trip and this whole thing. So they just say, okay, your ISL stint is 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next ISL stint for the other swimmers is 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But personally, I didn't really like the fact that it was back-to-back the same competition in two places. Because I agree.
It's a lot for the athletes. And it's a lot of the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. I'd love to see them having different teams every time, right?
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. I think for the non-swimming fan, at least if they tune in like twice in the same week, that kind of provides some familiarity. So if you were not familiar with some of the names, if you
that's
think
true.
About it.
That yeah, might help
that's,
out one
that's bad. True. And mm-hmm. yeah, and I think especially when things differ from week to week, that's actually a something that gets talked about a lot mm-hmm. in subject matter in mm-hmm. the broadcast. It's like, oh yeah, from the difference from week to week and the improvement
much
there.
Much they were and the home crowd. Gives a little bit more substance to...
It does. Know, it to, does. But I still think it'd be better if they mixed it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. or it's maybe two teams move on. And that would bring on a different element and make the points more interesting. Say you had, the top two teams swim two weekends in a row. And obviously this wouldn't work for scheduling. It had to be planned out. Mm-hmm. But then they're going into the next race a little fatigued or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the top two teams get a rest a little more.
Yeah, sure. It's like, it's like having a short week in football.
Yeah, exactly. You know, make it a little more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. John, it was interesting to see Solstrom swim the third, fifth day of Huskins meet. And
what week are we on?
We're on week four.
You're going back to week two, though?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So Solstrom swam and the first 25, she breathed every stroke. Yep. And then put her head down and came home.
Yep.
And Sharma's did that 2 days ago as well. So that's interesting. Talk to me about that. I mean, how did both of them manage to maintain their speed and their body alignment, focusing on keeping their, CO2 levels low? It was an interesting strategy, right? Because they didn't do that in the first 250s. They did in the last one. And physiologically, that was an interesting tactic, whereas...
Yeah, I mean, we know physiologically you don't need oxygen for a 50-meter free if you're within 20 to 23 seconds. The oxygen is not going to reach the blood that quick, but in a repeat skins race like that, I think if you can hold proper body alignment, that oxygen could be more beneficial for you at the end there. That's why you'll see, 200 freestylers start breathing every stroke pretty much right away, so they can be ready for that at the end of the race. I still think... people are still figuring out the skins, and I think the more they can breathe on that first 50, the better. Yes. But I think they're realizing they have to go pretty freaking fast on that first one. Yes. And it's hard to breathe, six times or eight times on a 50 free and go 21.0 short course meters or as fast as the women are going, right? Because you have some people that are just going to go for it, which makes it fun. I mean, it makes an interesting element.
You surprised that Michael Andrew didn't perform as well in the skins as one would have? We thought he would have.
I'm surprised he's not performing as well in general. Yeah, it's not just his skins, it's everything. Yeah. It's his first race. He got 7th in the 100 fly. He got 7th in the 100 fly in his first event of the meet. So
he's
it's a guy
who performs well in season, isn't he? At World Cup meets,
he does pretty well. And maybe, I don't know. Maybe short. Maybe he isn't as good at short course as he is long course, even though I think, you know, he was this amazing age group yard swimmer. So I think I at least assumed he would be good at short course because he was wrecking it there. But it seems to me he's coming up behind on the start. He's coming up behind on the turns a little bit. And then, I don't know, maybe something's off a little bit.
Yeah, I think if I remember watching his – I mean, he was a very good short course swimmer in his younger days. Mm-hmm. But I think his details in short course, if I remember correctly – were not as great, if I recall.
The skills, the commentator
said.
Yeah,
the skills. Well,
maybe he's sad because his team sucks.
His dad makes him happy.
Anyways.
I'm not trying to hate on him. I'm just saying, like,
what
I mean,
he's bumming a little.
Who are we missing? Yeah. Who are you guys missing? Are you seeing four derbies right now? Who are you missing? Who are you seeing? I mean, Sato's going to come, and he just almost broke the world record. Who are you missing?
That'll be a four energy standard.
Yeah.
Yes,
who are you looking forward to? Who you wish you saw a race?
Hagino. Kosuke Hagino is doing pretty good in Japan right now, making his kind of late.
Talking about any swimmer?
Yeah, any swimmer who's not winning before. Who you would have liked to have seen them race? Yeah. Who'd have excelled? Would have, like, I'd be cool to see them swim a fifth abreast because we're missing.
I would like to see Shu Jiayu, the 100 backstroker that won Worlds from China. I mean, he's got great underwaters. We'd like to see him.
Joseph Schooling could be another potential person.
Yeah, he's swimming a little better. He swam somewhat Australian.
Yeah, but he didn't do so well.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean,
his times were all right. I mean, they weren't terrible.
4,800 free short course meters.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about anyone, I still want to see, I'm blanking on her name, Russian breaststroker female.
Efimova?
Yeah, Efimova. I don't think she's as good yards.
I don't think she'd beat
Alia. But I think that would just bring some buzz there. Obviously, Sun Yang, he's not as good yards either. But
is Bruno swimming?
Exciting name in there.
Mm-hmm. Bruno Fratus.
Similar, like,
he's
2 weeks ago.
He's
similar,
yeah.
I think he's on, is it London Roar maybe? Or was it Team Iron?
I don't know, but he's on one of them, I think.
I think he got booted
this one.
Yeah, he got booted off a relay.
That Michael Phelps was swimming like he was? This was wrong when Michael Phelps was swimming. You think Michael would have excelled well at these meets if he was allowed to swim for sponsors?
We talked about it, right?
I don't think
he would have done it.
No, if he would have been allowed to do it because the business allowed him to do it, an athlete of his caliber, with his dexterity and his
durability, he would destroy it.
He would destroy it, wouldn't he?
I mean, he would be like a Tinker and put in 8 events and.
Here's a question.
Not in the 50s.
No.
But, like, he would be
one back, two back,
dangerous,
two, three.
Dangerous in the hundreds unless he had somebody who was, like, on form.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would win all the 200.
He'd be sick.
Not every stroke, of course. But, I mean, like, anyone that he was typically competitive in, he would win those. And I think he'd swim up to the 400s, of course, at his peak. And, yeah, I think he'd be ridiculous in this format.
Are they going
to
draft Lochte? Mm-hmm. Next year?
Well, I don't think he's allowed because he had
I'm sorry. I forgot this. My bad.
But in his prime... How do you think Lochte would have stacked up against Phelps in this format?
He was
format?
Pretty good.
You think Phelps would have?
Really well.
Right? I mean, Lochte was
better than Phelps was, yeah.
So do you think he would have been a better?
I mean, better is hard to say because Phelps is still better at other events. And I think if I were to pick, like, point totals, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's go through. I mean, you have Phelps. He would do 100, 200 fly. Could he do 100 free short course meters? Phelps? Individually. Let's talk individually.
Sure. Yeah.
Why not? 200 free.
Skins? Phelps?
No.
He probably couldn't get past that first 50, huh?
Yeah. No, I remember watching him swim a 50 free when he was, like, trying to switch over to the 50.
Mm-hmm. I'm going
to
make that. Remember that. 200 back?
Yep.
200 IM? Mm-hmm. 400 IM?
100 back.
100 back? Mm-hmm. Short course meters?
I mean, he's good underwater. Mm-hmm. I just don't know
if he could, right?
I mean, I'm not going to say no that he couldn't, but yeah. I think...
Maybe 4 free when he was young, too.
Yeah. He's really good underwater.
What about other swimmers, legendary swimmers in their prime who would be good at this? Gary Hall, Alex Popov, I mean, Matt Biondi. You got to think... It's a shame that...
Mary T. There's a lot of people.
It's cool, right? I'm glad this is here for the future of our swimming. Maybe my son's going to do it one day. You know, it'd be fun.
You're grooming your son for a professional
swimming. Did I drop that in there?
No crazy swim dad in the audience here.
Yes, you will swim the ISL. Oh,
mark my words.
Oh, it's so dangerous. So dangerous.
Yeah. But no, I think, it's interesting to think what the former upper elite athletes could have done in this type of format. As far as other current people right now, I don't know. Anyone? Do we miss anyone?
I'm thinking like the Japanese names, mostly the Chinese names.
Yeah, especially the Asian swimmers, right?
I guess I'm just thinking Ledecky only did the one meet and
Smith.
I just want to see more Smith people on form. You know, honestly, like I think how cool. So you're talking about Super Olympics, like what about Super ISL? And maybe so that'd be like drug related, but let's say that it was just every right? What if this is the peak? What if everybody showed up? I mean, imagine a world where Olympics didn't exist.
Yeah.
And summer meets didn't exist and individual accolades didn't exist because let's put it on par with other sports leagues.
Yeah.
And so everything is about this. I mean, we think this is cool now, but this would get like a whole, this would just, I mean,
definitely.
The level of hype around it, the level of focus around it, the quality that we would see out of this format, if this was the thing that everybody trained for, would be the coolest.
That's what Fina's worried about.
Why? That they should be excited.
Because that's what the NFL names, did, and that's I mean that's what NBA did. The NBA made a world championship much bigger than the Olympic finals of basketball.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And let's be fair, did we ever tune in to watch a World Cup meet? Not really.
At least not like this.
Yeah. Not like this. Yeah. But again, like this is very different because you have the participation. Right. Of absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
And that's true. But,
I just swing fast.
But yeah, but to the point that we've made before was that there's like does some of it fade? You know, after time, like the newness is very interesting. But like, I don't know that carries on.
No, they're smart enough.
Season two and season three.
They're gonna have new skins. They're gonna have a new kind of skins.
Yeah, you gotta have other things that are entertaining, and part of the entertainment could be like really really fast swimming. We see that from some people. We don't see it from everyone because not everybody cares like about it to the point that they're gonna sell their whole season into making their ISL performance the number one priority.
Yeah.
But in a world where that exists. I would just love to see the ISL season where everybody's selling out for it.
Or maybe year two. I mean, non-Olympic year.
Yeah.
Maybe more money gets put into it, and more people do go about it. But I know what you're saying, though. I mean, it would be really interesting. I don't think we'd see as much as, oh, yeah, we're all having fun. This was just here to have fun if this was it.
Maybe we'd have more parity in the teams, too.
Right.
So there's, Definitely. I mean, there's a lot of, there's a significant drop-off. But I think it's pretty evident in that drop-off that you have names that are swimming fast and names that aren't swimming fast. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's just like a surface-level observation, but that could change significantly if you had participation from everybody. I mean, think about it like, you know, well, for the Ledecky example, she only participated in one meet. Like, points-wise, yeah, she did well. But, like, there's definitely other swimmers that, you know, if they were really on their game,
definitely say they're shaved and I mean it'd be intrigued with the strategy too. Would you shave and taper for each one of these type of meets? And put these, you know, elite swimmers in more races, right? Because you're gonna push the envelope and really go for it. Or maybe you halfway through or maybe during the breaks you say, screw it, we're gonna put Katinka in five events because whatever, we're losing. We need to do something drastic,
World
right?
Series. Yeah, we're going to pull our starter and put him in for relief.
Exactly. And, we say Katinka, we need you to get fourth or better.
I won't be surprised if this catches on to be beyond the top level swimmers and have the next tier down and be as exciting. For instance, in English soccer, the Premier League is super, super exciting. We love seeing Premier League. We love seeing Man U play Tottenham, one of the best players in the world. But equally exciting is the championship level in the first division, in the second division. That's because it's now grown, and you can go to those games and watch those games, and they're really, really exciting. They're hella exciting.
Yeah, I knew you were trying not to say hell, and you said it anyway.
You said it.
But I can see, and I can see perhaps eventually it grows on. So maybe there's a U.S. league that has it, and the top U.S. team then goes on. You know, it could spread on. It could spread more.
I think we're far from that.
Right.
We are 3 years from that. The next Olympic cycle, 20. Yeah, before.
Yeah.
But let's remember, with the next Olympic cycle, there's more stories that happen, because remember the Lily King Efimova thing? When that become famous? During the Olympics. So could they use some of that to kind of spin the wheels a little bit more?
Big time. Like I've been talking about, year two is going to be the make it or break it for them. Assuming they can just financially get through year one.
How is this going to make money? I mean, they make my ads, and ESPN was not playing any ads at all. Is CBC playing in Canada? Is Flow Sports playing in the Caribbean? No.
So again, they drop the ads in the 1 hour broadcast that drops now. Mm. So if you consume it again on repeat, or stream it or whatever, then on demand, then you do get that.
Because who's funding it? Energy Standard, gentlemen, right? Yeah. So the billionaire, the president. Yeah. Like, how are they funding this, and how is this sustainable? And I hope it is. So it's the future. PD's right. It's the future of swimming. As an audience member, as a swimmer. It's fantastic.
Petey let me down, though. I thought he was going to get that first world record, and he wasn't really that close. No, man, his start and pull out are
still bad. His start and pull out are not
still bad.
Marzov got him, dude, in a 50 breast.
I know.
I knew his start was bad.
Marzov is so good.
I did not know his pull out was that bad.
Well, I mean, it is relative. I analyzed the last world chance, and I was like, all right, he's average now. But after watching this, not average. At least not compared to.
But he's against Grievous and Marzov. And he can learn from them. Maybe he will.
Yeah. And remember,
this could help him out, right?
Yeah. Project 53.
More starts there.
I'm teasing you. Yeah. I think I messaged the group. The surprise was actually Grievous did good in the 50 press, right?
Yeah. And Grievous can do anything. Yeah. I mean, Grievous was a good IMer in college. I'm pretty sure he popped some 142, 141s at some point, 200 yards IM. So. Yeah, he's a very versatile guy.
I'm glad he's so swimming. Such good for the sport.
Yeah, it's just you don't expect a guy that old to do it. So hopefully he's enjoying that. What place did he get in the 50?
Outside of the podium.
Okay.
Was that first day or second day?
But I think I was telling the group, I think a few months ago, he swam a master's meet, and then he went like maybe 23 in the 50 press, 24 yards, which is moving.
We got sixth. Brad Tandy did the 50 breast too. I don't know. Did he? Don't worry. Grievers beat both the New York Breakers guys in the 50 breast. Don't worry.
Worry.
Beat both of them.
They won some events. Which events did they win?
The Breakers?
They just won.
Give me a second.
Again, this makes me really interested in free agency.
Yeah. I am. Let's just hypothesize.
I want to get into some of the contract details.
I wish you knew more about it.
I know. Yeah, they're not making it very public or at least well known, but I would really love to know details on contracts. And then, you know, also understand legal rules on free agency and, you know, protections. Is there sort of anti-competition kind of, I mean, like, can you, you know, like, you can't talk to or actively recruit other athletes while they're, you know, part of another organization. But I'm just wondering, you know, kind of how we get into that. Maybe they established it already, and I haven't seen anything about it.
What kind of support staff do they have for the teams? So obviously they are what, 3-4 coaches manager on deck. They have a manager, but I mean, doctors and physios and massage therapists and trainers.
Some physios on deck. Someone rubbing people down during the scans, right?
So if I'm a middle of the road swimmer, not one of the stars in your team, I just show up there and I work with somebody else's coach, and I work with some physio I don't know, and you just
that's the way national teams work.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah. I've worked in these meets. You just stand there and they go, "All right, I'm with the national team. Give me a rub down." And okay, I'm John. What do you want me to work on? Simple as that.
Yeah, you kind of
pretty
just
cut
like,
and dry.
Yeah.
But so I'm just going through the last meet. So the Breakers won both 200 breast.
That's right. Coke,
I believe is how you pronounce it. Coke, and then Emily Escobedo.
Where's she from?
Does anyone know anything about her? No. I'm just happy I somewhat pronounced.
And I'm only saying that because it was really cool to see like Marsh working with Adrian for the skins, and to see the mix of the swimmers, and see, you know, Brett working with Dylan Carter, for instance, and Dylan is a sailor. Okay, it's interesting.
Yeah,
she's American.
She's from North Baltimore or Maryland, Baltimore County College, University of Maryland, Baltimore County,
UMBC.
She won a 200 breaststroke.
From New York.
That's what ISL is doing, at least for myself. I'm getting to get to know a wider range of swimmers and recognize his names, and not just American names, which is great.
Yeah, I'm loving it in that regard. Yeah. Just learning more about these Australians and some of these other athletes.
A lot before his race, eh? Chalmers was really pumped, and the London Raw team got him so fired up. And these Australians don't get to experience that too often. They haven't had the NCAA experience. Big not time. Many of them. Mm-hmm. So Chalmers got on deck, and you can tell that he was a sight for that last 50, man. He was just going for it.
It's kind of crazy how quickly he's recovered from heart surgery.
Mm-hmm. Was it just, what, 2 months ago maybe?
No,
he was out for 3 weeks.
He didn't swim 2017 World Champs because of it.
But he was out recently, and he's been back in the world 5 weeks. Something else.
That was a different one. Yeah, he's come back and then had another one.
Something else happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
I think it's a second heart surgery.
But no, he's an impressive swimmer, no doubt about that. So exciting to see what he can do moving forward. I don't know.
So our next one's in a few weeks.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think, like you said, we'll see. If this maintains the steam, not only for next year, but also within the current season, right? This is going to be our first couple-week break between it for us ultra swim nerds. Are we going to be as excited for the U.S. competition? So you got the Current, the Condors, the Breakers, the Trident. I think we already know who we think are going to be the favorites.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We'll see if they all show up, right? Is Ledecky going to come to the competition? Where's this one? I think it's in Maryland. So Maryland. Hopefully she shows up. That's like
their home team. This is their home pool for DC.
Yeah,
driving,
and she's
right?
from that area too. So yeah, that'd be nice for her to show up.
I
you
hope
do whatever
so.
You want, Katie. But
I'm curious to know how, like, so there's some athletes who do again well in this format, so maybe they could continue their training program. But everybody knows the sport of swimming is like you get in these deep training lulls where you're heavy on a heavy load.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the heavy load time of year for typically. So
trials.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's some people that peak for fall meets and peak for a December meet maybe, so there's some people that are doing that. And of course, the broadcast is pumping up the fact that everybody's going to be shaved and tapered for Vegas. Which
they say that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What? So maybe they're going to be. I don't really believe that myself. but I think, like, seeing how... So okay, we had the teams that competed for 2 weeks in weeks one and two, and now you had teams in weeks three and four. I wonder what they did when they were away. You know, like we don't check in with them. What's going on? You know, there's no reporters at their practices going, "Hey, like now Ledecky's killing yardage." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it could be that we saw a few people pop in swims. I mean, Atherton this week, and then at the Derby, she could suck because it's been another month. And so our coach is like, "All right, well, you know, we hit our." Some of them may have just wanted to pop a couple swims at the early ones. So I'm kind of interested to see how, like, that changes, perhaps, or doesn't, for the Derby stage and then to Vegas.
Definitely. And you have the Greensboro Pro Series the week before this U.S. meet. So, I mean, there's going to be that involved, too. I know U.S. national team members pretty much all go to that competition. So, once again, more meets piling up. And then... Are there any other
big meets
going on?
Is there any World
Cup? Let me see if I can find anything. But so the U.S. swimmers will have that the week
there
before.
There are a lot of meets in November. Swim Sam put an article out of all the big meets in November. It's a lot going on.
Yeah, so let me see what I can find here. But yeah, I mean, I think I just saw something on an interview that was saying, Vlad was saying how he was starting to feel the fatigue during that last skin. I mean, he's doing a lot of races.
Yeah, weekend.
Did he do the World Cup the week before this?
Yeah, I think
meets
he did,
in a row?
Actually.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. That is a lot. So, yeah, we'll see it. Like you said, Brian, training cycle, fatigue of meets, injuries.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And then let's not also forget, in December, early December, it's U.S. Nationals as well, right? And that's also a big meet as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Is U.S. Nationals big meet?
Maybe not as much as I saw.
I'm not sure. There's a U.S. U.S. Nationals, U.S. Open.
U.S.
I don't know, but I'd be fatigued if I was doing skins.
My wife,
and that would be the first time I did skins. So I don't care about like multiple.
My wife asks me why this is short course meet, it's not long course, and I say because it's so much more exciting short course meet. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
It is. Yards are short is more exciting. Also, world records. I don't think we would have had a 100 back world record if it was long course, right? Maybe not.
Definitely not. Also, I just think it helps a more intimate environment.
Yeah, it keeps the pool short, keeps the crowd exciting, right?
Yeah. We talked about this before, but the how the lanes are inconsistent from one day to the next. Also, noticed this week that they don't keep So the order of the teams on the deck isn't the same as what's reflected in the pool.
I agree.
And that's confusing.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying.
Like, but because they show it on the screen, right? You can see them in the I don't know, they do well with the screens behind the teams. But that doesn't match up what's in the pool. I think it's weird.
I did notice that Vlad always got the outside lane for his skins race. So he always had open water on his left side.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's to do with picking. Back to your point. Sure.
But that's a huge help in 50, man.
Yeah, it can be. So it's US Open, December 4th to 7th in?
Federal Way.
Minnesota.
Georgia.
Is it?
Anything at stakes?
Atlanta?
Atlanta,
Georgia,
yeah.
Tech, wow. Georgia Tech?
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
What other pool do you have there?
Mm. All right, closing thoughts? That's it. Anything?
Yeah, I think another exciting week. And I saw we saw our first world record, which we talked about, but didn't really break down much. So I don't know. I'm not sure what type of national or international coverage that world record got, if that brought any more buzz to it at all. But shout outs to Mina Atherton. I'm excited to see if that can get a nice rivalry going with her and the U.S. backstrokers and anyone else out there. But I think two 19-year-olds, that's pretty exciting, that are very good backstrokers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm interested to see how the U.S. teams compete against each other in their meet, and then the European teams. But you know, a nice 2-week break just to kind of decompress a little bit from and kind of gain more thoughts. But yeah, that's all I got to say.
I got me very excited about swimming. For a time of the year, I'm not too excited about swimming because it's a time of year that you all about hard training. It's October and fall and getting cold.
Really hard.
So I'm excited about swimming again, and I wish I could find a way to help that get out to the larger public. And I'm so excited to like shout and scream, ISL is on, don't you want to watch it? Like, I was so excited for my buddies and my family to watch it, and I wish there was a way I could help, maybe this podcast, probably not, I don't know, but help us get it out there, because it's so good for our sport and it makes me proud.
Maybe we just need to get you a megaphone to do a run around and shout.
This meat is hella good! Hella good meat on!
They work really hard.
I'm going to make you roar again.
You text during the meet, so that's cool. Well, multiple of us do the text thread during the meet about.
I texted three people, it's pretty cool, eh?
Wow, wow, wow. That's crazy.
What's your big takeaway?
Yeah.
This
well, to be honest, I think the. So I wasn't watching as intently this weekend, and you heard that I consumed it kind of after the fact. Mm-hmm. So maybe that impacted, you know, my excitement over it. But again, the excitement's waning a little bit. And so I'm interested to see how that changes maybe with U.S. focus. I mean, truthfully, I'm excited about the U.S. meet in particular because I know a lot more of the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of surprises out of the European athletes, probably just because there's a lot of them that I don't know. Also, there's some of them that are popping some sick times, and I think they look across the board fresher.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for those reasons, I'm interested in like just the depth to which I'll know all the people who are competing, and on the US side and then on the European side. Some could potentially be some really fast times if swimmers continue on the path that they're on. So I'm hopeful that, actually I'm excited if there's going to be more world records in the Derby round. I think there's some serious potential for that, maybe mostly on the European side.
Sure.
I think, as I mentioned before, I'm excited to understand how the timing of the schedule and the progression of the season, notably the teams, especially because the teams are starting to separate themselves, and it's fairly clear who's going to make it to the final already, even though it's not a done deal. If that impacts some of the teams just tanking even worse, do we see a resurgence of the breakers, or do they just fall off a cliff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like you said, we have Nationals or U.S. Open December 6th and 7th. We have the Greensboro meet, so I think they'll be someone in decent shape, but yeah, I don't know if they're going to be making any changes or really making any resurgence, but it looks like Energy Standard, London Roar, Cali Condors, and LA Current are going to be the four, which I'm excited to see that. I mean,
they're the most exciting teams.
I guess why not, right? They're the best teams. Let's see them, but there'll be some good races. Who will be in the skins for those?
Ooh,
Dressel, the top one. So we have, obviously, Dressel probably leading the show for the men.
Morozov,
Manadou, and then Australian what Chalmers. Chalmers.
Yeah, did we say anybody from LA Current though?
I guess Adrian. Yeah. He's been the best one for them.
Yeah. And then you got Solstrom, Renomi.
Campbell.
No, it's been the other one.
Chroma Majojo.
I can't ever. McKeon. And then who else are we missing? Condors? Do we have a female from Condors?
What about the Aqua Centurions?
Their team?
Remember them?
Who's better, the Centurions or the Breakers?
We'll find out.
Oh, Centurions.
Centurions, I think, as well. But anyway, so exciting stuff ahead, I think. Okay. So thanks everyone for listening. This is the
Social Kick.
Oh, I was with the Nahella.
They work real hard.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
See you guys.